Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. We got 25 more minutes from Nashville. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano here on American Family Radio. Ed and I are at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention at the Opryland Spaceship here. As I've said, the Opryland Hotel starts in Nashville and ends in Kentucky. It's amazing. It's an amazing huge place. And then, what would President Trump call it, Ed?
What did he call it?
What would he call it if he were here?
Huge. Huge.
You do such a good job at that.
It's not hard. It's one syllable.
Huge? Well, just it's an H
huge,
silent?
Huge. Okay. Huge.
All right. Fred Jackson and Walker Wildman back in our studios in Tupelo. And we appreciate Tupelo, Mississippi, for those who don't know. And we appreciate you listening to AFR. We have a guest with us here. A lot of folks are here at the convention, and we've got a guest in studio.
Well, we want to welcome Polly Bunting, right?
Yes, thank
and,
you.
And the organization you're with is the Concepts of Truth International.
Yes,
I get that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about what this organization does, what you do there.
Well, what I do there is I manage the Arkansas office. We're based in Wynn for Arkansas, and I handle the media, marketing, and events. So I wear a lot of hats. I'm also an author and speaker for them.
What's your mission? What's the mission of the organization?
It is to reach people worldwide with the message that God loves us and He wants to heal our hurts. And we do that through many ways, through curriculum that we have for sexual health, for abortion recovery. We are an accredited NGO with the United Nations, so that gives us more of a global platform.
Non-governmental organization.
Yes, sir. And we are having a recovery weekend in New York next month in March, and we're excited about leading those
recovery
women.
From what?
Abortion recovery, yes.
So is that your main emphasis?
Our main emphasis is abortion recovery for hope and healing.
Now, what is a model for sexual health? What does that mean?
We go into the schools with a sexual health program, and we want to equip the students there to make healthy life choices.
Okay.
And so we believe in a whole person approach. So we can meet a need on an economic level, but if there's a deficit in their emotion or their spirit, then they're still not a whole person, and they're still not as productive in society as they could be. And so we want to speak to the whole person.
You're trying to keep teenagers from having sex and getting pregnant.
Yeah, in a nutshell, thank you for just laying that out there.
Well, that's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
Because we see poverty that comes often from teenage pregnancy often leads to poverty and to other problems, and oftentimes, leads to a lot of abortion, unfortunately.
It does. Yeah. We believe in a pro-informed choice.
Yeah.
So we realize that at the end of the day, everybody gets to make their own choices, but we want them to have all the information so that they can make an informed choice and they don't look back and say, I wish someone had told me.
Right.
So what's your website again?
It's conceptsoftruth.org or internationalhelpline.org.
internationalhelpline.org. And do you have a school curriculum or
we do
what?
It's okay. Sexual health in you, and we write that ourselves, we publish that ourselves. We're looking to get that on Amazon.
Okay. Did you start the ministry?
I did not. Millie Lace is our founder and director. She is currently in our New Jersey office. Mm-hmm. And she used to be in Wynn full time, and they moved
from Arkansas to
New Jersey.
So you have offices all over the country?
We have another office in Spencerville, Ohio.
Okay.
And so that's our three main offices.
Wonderful. Counseling, recovery, prevention.
Yes.
Counseling.
How hard is it to get into school? You go into schools, right?
We have to approach the principal, school board. The point of contact probably varies from school district. But once we get in there, we can send volunteers or paid staff. It just depends on what we have, and they go in from 6 to 9 weeks into the health classes typically, and they present our curriculum. Yeah. We are working to get it on DVD so that if a school is interested and we don't have the staff to go in, then the teacher could play the DVD and follow along with the book, and they wouldn't need our presence. They would just need our curriculum.
So how many schools are you in?
We are in three currently, Lee Academy, Wynn High School. Make okay. that two.
Okay, but you're in other places around the country, I guess.
We do offer it around the country, but currently we're only in Arkansas schools.
Well, how with a pro-sex culture, anytime, right. anywhere, as long as it's consensual, that's that's kind of the cultural value that's been promoted for 60 years. How open are young people to hearing a different approach, since all the pressure is have sex, you're a loser if you don't have sex? How open are kids before and after they hear a presentation? Are they skeptical before and then grateful afterwards? You're giving them permission to say no, those kind of things. How does that play out usually?
Right. They are typically skeptical, like you said, because they've been given a different message. Sometimes these students, we may be the first person that has said to them, you have value. And what you do matters, and what you say matters, and your decisions matter. And so when they hear that, it starts them thinking. And it's a new idea and a new concept for them to wrap their mind around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then as we present the information, you know, we've had positive feedback that says, I know now that I can save myself for marriage. I know now that I am worth saving for marriage. And so we hear that quite often.
That's a counterculture marriage, counterculture message today that we have. What's the website again?
It's conceptsoftruth.org or internationalhelpline.org.
Well, we have a lot of listeners in Arkansas.
We do.
Your home state there. Thank you for coming by, Polly.
Thank you. Thank you
appreciate
for letting
it.
Me share.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Polly.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. And we go back to Fred. Fred, what's our next news story?
I'm not Fred.
It's Steve Jordahl.
Oh, Fred went back across the street.
Yeah, we tag-teamed.
Okay, is it raining?
It is. So here's my thought. Tim, if you don't mind asking, if when you're done with NRB, if they're not using that big, huge
atrium,
if we could bring it back here, we could get between our two buildings without getting wet. That would be nice.
Yeah, for those who don't know, we have two buildings there in our home studios in Tupelo, Mississippi, and back in Tupelo. And our news department is on the other side of the street. So they're about 100 yards to walk, I guess.
And not Steve, bad.
I have no sympathy.
I have no sympathy, Steve, because for years, Tim and I used to have to go across to that side
right,
of the street.
Right. So whatever the weather was. We
whatever the weather.
It.
That's right.
I know how
care.
That is.
All right, Steve, what's up, buddy?
Well, I tell you, I'm listening. This is some media education for our listeners out there. I've been listening to some of the arguments that have been made in countering President Trump's suggestion that perhaps teachers should arm themselves in schools to stop these shootings. And what they're saying is it's really stupid for someone to expect a person with a handgun to go up against someone with an AR-15 because the bullet speed is so different. And this is why they're saying arming teachers won't work. I wanted to play a little bit from Neil O'Donnell from MSNBC and listen to the tone he takes. What he is saying is absolute drivel, but the tone he uses makes it sound so important.
2,182 miles per hour. That's how fast the bullets were moving when they came out of the barrel of that AR-15 in Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School last week. 2,182 miles per hour, 3,200 feet per second. That's what those kids were trying to outrun. 3,200 feet per second. That's three times faster than the speed of a bullet leaving the barrel of a 9mm handgun. With a high-capacity magazine, the AR-15 can fire maybe 90 or 100 bullets in a minute. A concealable handgun can fire maybe 15 bullets in a minute. But President Trump said today that he believes
What's his point, Steve?
His point is that the point is that anything President Trump says must be automatically stupid, according to the left-wing media. But his point is you can't expect a teacher with a handgun to go up against someone with an AR-15 because the bullets travel so much faster out of an AR-15. Now, conveniently forgetting that it was Capitol Police with handguns that took down the shooter at the baseball field that got Steve Scalise, who had an AR-15. But no, that's not the narrative. It just seems to me, I don't know, Walker, you work with guns. Would you feel comfortable if you had a...
Something is better than nothing. And right now, many of our teachers have nothing to defend themselves.
Yeah, just think how slow you are if you're going up against an AR-15 and you're running up to the guy with a baseball bat.
Yeah, or a desk.
Wow. Did he actually say that's the speed of the bullets that these kids are trying to outrun?
That's what he said, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
He did. You know, that's just so – how would you describe what he just said? I mean –
He's just clueless. I mean, those arguments he was making. Listen, I understand people who don't want guns.
A little bit for creativity.
Yeah, that's kind of like Nancy Pelosi saying,
"Mow the grass
at the border." That's how you improve our.
So it is.
But if she said it like "mow the grass," it would sound so much more. Right. You know,
These lefties, they just. I mean, these ideas that they keep
coming
up.
That's just clueless.
Yeah.
But this is the argument that they're making.
That is not an argument I can respect.
I've never heard that argument before,
I can
ever.
Respect other people who, you know, have other arguments. If it's well-reasoned, I can disagree, but I can respect. But I can't show you any respect, Chris O'Donnell, if you're going to – is it Chris O'Donnell?
That's Chris O'Donnell, yeah.
Okay.
An actor name.
Yeah, it's an actor, too.
Okay.
You know what? It's Lawrence O'Donnell, I think. I apologize.
It is Lawrence, I think.
Okay.
I think there's an actor by that.
Chris O'Donnell, yeah.
The article that I was looking at that was putting out this argument here talked about the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School as being the deadliest high school shooting in the U.S., and it didn't sound right to me because I know that there have been other school shootings, and so I looked it up, and I found something pretty amazing. I'm on a Wikipedia page that has all the school attacks, school shootings and killings in the last, in history. Do you know that the first American school shooting is number 5? The first 4 in deadliness happened outside the United States and fairly recently, 2014, 2015.
What are some of the countries, Steve?
Well, the deadliest school shooting happened in 2004 in Russia. And then in Indonesia, and then in Pakistan, and then in Kenya. And then you get to the first American school disaster, which happened in 1927 when a guy set off a bomb.
It was a bomb, wasn't it?
Right, in Bath Township, Michigan. And then another American school shooting, and then you have one from Israel, one from the United States, one from Pakistan, one from the United States, one from the UK, one from Germany, from Canada, from Brazil. The talking point that this only happens here in the United States because we're so gun crazy... is bunk.
Mm-hmm. So you have officially debunked it, then?
I have debunked it.
Yeah.
I trust that nobody from now on will ever use that because now I have proved them wrong.
Debunked it.
I'm sure they all listen.
Next. All right, what else you got?
Next.
This New York City court, the New York City Police Department is going to be paying $180,000 to 3 Muslim women who were arrested and then forced to remove their hijabs for mugshots. The police said you can't wear this covering and have a mugshot because we really can't see what you look like. And they were told to take them off, and they sued. Now, the women said we can't be in the presence of a man without our hijabs on, so the New York police helped them out by putting them in a room only with women, and the women took the picture and got it all taken care of. But that still wasn't enough, and a judge has awarded the women $180,000.
Oh, come on. Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious.
What are we going to do with these judges? That is ludicrous.
Was that a state judge or a federal judge? Do you know?
It was a state judge.
Yeah, awarded them $180,000 because they had to take their hijab off. Is that how you pronounce it?
Hijab, yeah. I think is how you
pronounce
it.
And it was in front of... Well, this is going to be a problem going forward.
If you're going to take a mugshot, you've got to know what a person looks like.
She felt exposed, violated, and distraught.
No, she felt like she needed some money.
That's what she felt like.
Come on. Anyway,
next. I mean, if it's a mugshot, then you are in police custody.
Hey, I was in JFK Airport in New York. Saw a woman walk through with a job. No,
a burka.
Burka.
Well, I mean, they have a right to do that. But if you have been arrested and they're taking a mugshot, you've got to have a face on the picture.
Well, I don't know about that right to do that. I'm talking about let's treat people equally. They may take off my jacket
and shoes and belt.
And you got a big covering with a burka.
Yeah.
And you can't even see their face. I don't know what they did about that. Maybe they did something that I didn't see in terms of seeing their face.
Taken to a separate private room or
something. Yeah. But anyway, it's not that big of a problem now because we don't have that many Muslims who dress like that.
Yeah.
But you're going to get more of that.
Right.
The more Muslims you get. But award them $180,000.
$180,000?
Because they had to take their hijab off in a private room?
Well, with women, only women present.
Yeah,
in one case. In another case, they at the Brooklyn Central booking, a man actually had to take their picture. But
if I were them, I'd go do it again.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good way to make some money right there. Huh?
Oh, my goodness.
Go in, do it again, different airport, and then say you're violated, go back to the same judge.
And what state was this?
It was in New York, and it wasn't an airport.
That's $180,000 right there.
Yeah, they were.
You got to pay taxes on that? Do you know, Steve?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
I don't know the answer to that.
All right.
So,
go ahead, Steve.
We have some things are heating up in Syria, and an interesting confrontation happened that isn't getting a lot of press because it's just not being reported. Apparently, on the night of February 7th, pro-regime Syrian forces attacked a U.S. base. And it turns out, as they started looking more and more into this, that it wasn't really Syrian, it was Russian forces. Russian forces, under the cover of Syrian fighting in Syria, attacked a U.S. base. The U.S. took them out, used helicopters, and the transcript of the Russians in the middle of this say they got their butt kicked.
These were Russian mercenaries, weren't they?
They're Russian soldiers. I don't know that they're mercenaries. Russia is heavily involved in Syria, and they are on the pro-Bashar Assad
side. Yeah, are they actually involved in the fighting?
Russian,
I know their military.
Russian regulars?
I know their jets are. I'm not sure about ground troops.
What they found was leaked audio recording from, it was, Russian mercenaries on the scene. But they think that they were under the control of Putin himself. And what Putin does, they are saying in this article, is he wants to test his enemy.
Right.
Goes up and sees about their resolve. It'll tell you what the rules of engagement are, and it'll only cost you lives of the people you sent up, which if you are Putin, you probably don't care a whole lot about.
Right.
So he did that, and they just got trounced by the U.S., who was more than ready for the surprise attack. But Russian and U.S. forces coming together, it's the deadliest Russian event, including the Cold War. Nothing like this ever happened, even during the Cold War.
I tell you, that situation over there in Syria is complicated and hard to understand, quite frankly. You have Assad, who's the dictator for a long time. What's his name?
Bashar Assad.
Yeah, and this has been going on 5 or 6 years now, I think.
Well, maybe even longer than that, but yes.
And it's a civil war, in essence, between his forces and the rebels, or the people who got tired of being oppressed by him and his regime.
There are several rebel groups, I think, right?
Yeah, and I don't know what their motivation is, except they don't like being oppressed anymore.
They want to overthrow.
Yeah, because he's been a brutal dictator.
Right.
But I don't know, you want to be careful because sometimes those groups are like ISIS or they're like Islamic fundamentalist groups who would be worse if they were in control than a dictator.
And that's what they're saying. The sides are, like you're saying, are not clear. Russia and the United States and ostensibly Bashar al-Assad want the terrorist groups, ISIS-type groups, they all say they want them out. But the difference comes in whether you want them out under Bashar Assad or whether you want them out under a whole new regime change, because really Bashar Assad has been the one that's behind all the terror attacks, according to intelligence. So it's messed up. And then bring Iran into the picture because they are now flying drones and getting involved.
And then you got the Turks battling out with the Kurds in Syria? Or
that's on the border.
Syria?
It's on the border.
Yeah.
And then you've got Iraq there. And, of course, ISIS is about crushed from what we're hearing.
That's what I understand. They're because down to one city, control of one city.
President Trump should get a lot of credit for that because he unleashed our military on ISIS instead of making them fight with one arm tied behind their backs like President Obama did. So then you got the Iranian threat to the world, basically.
Right.
So that's just it's a big mess over there, and from that whole Middle East region. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Ed. We're broadcasting from Nashville, Tennessee, at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention at the Opryland Hotel. Steve Jordahl, Walker Wildman back in the studio. Steve, we got time for one more story.
Let's do this from the Snowflake Files.
Hey, Snowflake.
Snowflake.
My pretty little snowflake.
Cornell College, Dateline Cornell, a Republican college group, has been denied recognition by the campus. It's a group that wants to be part of its Turning Point USA college group. They have slogans such as "I love capitalism" and "Big government sucks." Sorry for that language, but this is their slogans. And the college says that is hateful, sexist, and racist, and discriminatory. And therefore, the college is refusing to recognize the club, which means they don't get school money to put on events and all that kind of stuff.
At Cornell.
Cornell.
Isn't that an Ivy League school?
It is in New York State.
Well, again, this is another example. Traditional liberalism was fine. I disagreed with it, but at least they were for an open dialogue and everybody gets to express their ideas and for free speech for everybody. The modern day progressive, which progressivism wants to censor or shut down speech and shut down debate just like this. What they're saying is this conservative student group at Cornell is their existence is illegitimate,
right?
And so we're not going to allow them to have access to funds like we do for every other group on campus there. Alan Dershowitz, the law professor from Harvard, the famous law professor from Harvard, he's even critical of the progressive movement because he says they won't even let me talk,
right?
and I'm a liberal
because he's pro-Israel,
yeah. They don't. That's an illegitimate position to hold, according to the progressive movement, which is a threat to the First Amendment and to free speech and to open dialogue, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the Snowflake File there, and that's the legendary. Who was that singing that there? Snowflake?
Reed. Jim Reeves.
Jim Reeves, the legendary Jim Reeves, who's a country
music. Legendary guy we can't remember.
Yeah, I know.
And you being in Nashville, that's
I know,
your
country music star, right?
There, yeah.
Country music star.
He took off in my high school years.
They did.
Poor Walker.
I'm just trying to work my way into this.
He's cut out of every discussion we have past 1999.
Jim Reeves was before my day.
Yeah.
I think he was. His heyday was the 60s or something like that. All right. Well, it's been a wonderful time here. Tomorrow we'll be back in our home studios with Trivia Friday. Ed, you got somebody to thank?
Yeah, we'd like to thank our friends at Operation Christmas Child for their support, helped make this broadcast possible, and our attendance at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention possible.
And tomorrow is the funeral service in Charlotte for Billy Graham.
Yes.
And a lot of people around the world will be watching that, so I guess we can pray for that event and pray that Jesus Christ will be
honored lifted up
and exalted. All right, thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
And Ed, appreciate
it. Thank you, gentlemen. And you, Ed, thank you.
I didn't mean that like it sounded.
This time.
I didn't put you in a separate category.
I'm gonna go home and cry.
Okay. All right, you little snowflake. All right, folks, have a great day. Keep listening to AFR.